Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Common Sense Revisited. Today is Saturday, February 18th, 2012, and you're tuned into the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining me. My name is Todd McGreevy, and I'm your host for the next hour. We appreciate you tuning in. Trying to get back on a little bit more of a schedule, folks, and I apologize for the hiccups in the last few weeks of the schedule changes and so forth. We're Common Sense Revisited is now on the air at 1 o'clock Central Time, 1 p.m. Central Time. That'd be 2 o'clock Eastern and 11 a.m. West Coast Time on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we'll try and get into a routine here. And we appreciate you tuning in. Common Sense Revisited is the namesake of the show, and you can visit commonsenserevisited.com to download your free copy of the modern-day tribute to Thomas Paine's original. And I would direct you to page 10 of commonsenserevisited.com when you download your free copy or order your own copies. There's an excellent little chart there that explains the top 10 characteristics of bottom-up versus top-down societies. And as you go about evaluating the information that you get from the lamestream media and the control grid and the ministry of truth that we're bombarded with every day, you know, keep in mind and consider these top 10 characteristics. Are you living in a bottom-up or a top-down society? Are you making change where you live based on these characteristics? Love versus fear, freedom versus control, non-coercion versus force, local control versus centralized planning, abundant creativity versus stifled creativity, optimism versus despair, strong families versus breakdown of families, personal responsibility versus dependence, universal opportunity versus concentrated power, and prosperity versus poverty. I would dare say that all of the things that are discussed on RBN, including the great show that Darren Weeks just hosted right before me, can be broken down to those 10 elements. Which side of that column are you on with regards to the actions you take in terms of your local community and where you live? Of course, I want to encourage listeners to go to republicbroadcasting.org and avail themselves of the great tools that are there. They have excellent resources there. They have archives you can subscribe to. They have bumper stickers, business cards you can pick up. And they have, they're certainly, they could use your support as well. There is a pledge drive going on right now. We encourage you to go and at least contribute something to that pledge drive to help with their equipment and so forth. We want to give a shout out to the folks listening on 1140 AM. In Dallas-Fort Worth. We appreciate you tuning in today. And I also want to give a shout-out to Marilyn in Henderson, Nevada, who I had the pleasure of meeting a few weeks ago in Las Vegas at the County Sheriff Convention. Marilyn is a stalwart, longtime fan of RBN, and she was hustling and handing out RBN cards left and right. And we appreciate all your support, Marilyn, and I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. Today, we have a guest with us. His name is Corey Ide. I believe he's with us on the phone. Yes, he is. Hi, Corey. Greetings. Welcome, Corey. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to have the first break here in a couple minutes, so I want to give some folks some context of why you're on the show today. I had the pleasure of getting to know Corey at the County Sheriff Project, the Constitutional Sheriff's Convention that was held in Las Vegas January 30th and 31st. Corey is, among other things, a very active member of the Orange County, California Oath Keepers branch, one of the most active branches, if not the most active chapters in America today. And I met Corey and his crew there, his friends John and Leonard and Alicia and others that were working their tails off as volunteers to help with the County Sheriff Project. And Corey is a wealth of information, and he's going to share with us the research that he and his team have been doing in Orange County, California, and how it can apply to you where you live and the actions you can take. Because as we all know, any right we cannot enforce is no right at all. Corey's going to share that with us when we return. We're going to get into Rawsome Foods, and we're going to get into the Fullerton 6 and more. So please stay with us. We'll be right back after this first break.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesite, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit TerraVim.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting Zone, Deanna Spingola, authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
Welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. Thank you for staying with us, folks. We have with us Corey Ibe from Orange County, California. Corey, hello.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us today. I'm excited for you to share your research with our listeners, and I appreciate all the work you do. And we're going to hit our listeners with a lot of web addresses this hour, and I have up at my blog, thirdrailblog.com. Listeners who listen to Common Sense Revisited know that's where I put all my show links, and there's a lot of intel there for everybody. And Corey's website is CoreyEibe.com, CoreyEibe.com. And he's a member of the Orange County, California Oath Keepers, which is OCOathKeepers.org. And Corey, you guys take your oaths very seriously out there in Orange County, don't you?
Boy, absolutely. That is, the Oath of Office was the very first legislation that Washington signed into law. And then Lincoln changed it just before the Civil War to where before you could take government office, you have to subscribe to the same oath before someone who was authorized to take that oath. And that's the absolute foundation. The law is very clear that unless you have that oath of office on file, you cannot start work. And that's where we start when we start looking at somebody who we feel might be exceeding their authority or something like that. We start by going and getting their oath of office.
I have talked about that so many times on my radio show because I went and looked up on this show, I should say. I've looked up our oaths of office in the county where I live, in Scott County, Iowa, and listeners have heard me say it over and again. I asked for a copy of the oath of office going back 50 years for our sheriff, and I was told that they are destroyed, these oaths of office. So there's actually no record of that contract. You have come up – I want to get into your research on Rossum Foods and the Kelly Thomas murder in Fullerton, California. But I also just want to touch briefly on this concept that you shared with me out in Vegas. And I thought it was fascinating that it's one thing to have an oath on file, but it's another thing to have accepted the person's oath. Can we talk about that briefly and that concept you're exploring?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's something that we're exploring right now, and this came from researching really some real estate transactions. And when I went through Bouvier's, looking up what a deed was and so forth, it turned out that an oath, specifically the type of oath that government officials take, is a form of a specialty contract, and that's how Bouvier's defines it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very interesting, so I looked a little bit more into what entails a specialty contract. And Bouvier's makes it very clear what all the different forms of what you need, and really what the path that we're headed on right now is that the oath is really the foundation of a specialty contract. And it fits real well with some very interesting history of reading about Lincoln and why he changed the oath of office from being what was called an extrajudicial oath, which was where you just stood in front of somebody and said, "I promise to uphold the Constitution," and changed that to a promissory oath, which means you now have to subscribe on paper what it is that you're promising to do. And So we're in the process now of gathering oaths and learning, and we've made some mistakes, and we've had a few things of what we call heater projects come up that have put the actual acceptance and getting that publicly done. That's put it out a couple of weeks. You mentioned Rossum Food. That I've been working on 100% probably the last 7 days. I've done nothing but focus on Rossum Food and what's going there.
And I want to jump to that. I just want to put a finishing point on this promissory oath that you talked about. What mechanism was it that Abraham Lincoln utilized? Was it executive order? Was there legislation? What was the writ that got that accomplished?
Well, it started out that by executive order, Lincoln required all executive employees to sign a new oath, which was termed an ironclad test oath. That's what they called it just before the Civil War. And the reason why the oath was put that way is the North was actually more afraid of people infiltrating government and becoming traitors to the Northern ideals of government than they were of actual direct conflict. And so there was a lot of effort that went into this oath, and I think the wording of that act and Lincoln's actions there really demonstrate how he had an advantage by not being educated in the traditional law schools of the time. He was self-taught and read a lot of books, and he read a whole bunch of things that they just don't teach you in law school. And one of those books that he read was a lot about contracts. And I'm personally of the belief now that Lincoln thought, and you can also verify this with some of the things that he had said while this legislation was trying to go through, was that he would bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. And you see, people back before the Civil War were facing a lot of the same pressures we face today, just people being crushed by the central banks, people who are they have doctorates in chaos, that they go out and would get people caught up in contracts, and people would lose their homes, and there's all sorts of stuff going on back then that was done via government power. And what we're exploring here is that I think Lincoln actually came up with a way that, rather than having to educate the entire nation on all the nuances of contract law, that if he could just teach everybody one type of contract that's really fairly simple, it's a specialty contract, that if that contract was done properly, it would trump the prima facie evidence of being in another type of contract that was detrimental to the people. And so that's where we're headed with the oath. And we'll certainly keep you up to date as soon as we've got the first one recorded.
Well, you've drawn a thread in the Lincoln history that might actually burnish his reputation versus deconstructing the myth that's created around him as some laudable president. He was, he incarcerated, hundreds and hundreds of journalists and detractors to his regime, if you will. And there's a whole history of Lincoln that's not told. But this one is a new one, and it sounds like it might actually be a positive aspect of his presidency.
Yeah, the Civil War was a time period of incredible stress. The more I've studied this, the more I realize the absolute no-win position Lincoln was in when he gave his second inaugural address. And And even when he was headed off to Washington the first time, there were some, in his address, there were some things that, you know, you could tell there were stresses there. But boy, the more I've read this, the more I really feel for the man. And, you know, while incarcerating all those many people and suspending habeas corpus and everything else that he did, it was not like it is today. It was a very difficult time for somebody who would be honest and freedom loving that I believe Lincoln was. That's definitely contrary to a lot of the history we're taught of what he actually did do. But
well, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who'd like to take you up on that challenge, and we should pursue that on another show. I want to get to the details of what you've been exploring.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you trailing on that for us, because it is important. It's the foundation of your research. But meanwhile, let's talk about is it the Fullerton Six? Is that the proper euphemism?
Well, the Fullerton Six seems to be kind of the name that's been hung on it. We call it the Kelly Thomas murder.
Mm-hmm.
In a few other ways, but basically that was Kelly Thomas, who was a homeless schizophrenic man who was not a harm to himself or anyone else. He was well known in the community in Fullerton. Never had a history of violence, never did anything to hurt anybody. The only thing he did was maybe not eat enough. He was about 140 pounds, I think, at the time. And he looked very dirty, which was part of the disease of schizophrenia and so forth. But the local merchants knew who he was. And there was a report that, an alleged report, so far I've not been able to get any verification of that report at all, but an alleged report that somebody was breaking into cars. And Kelly Thomas was in the area. He was well known to the police, and they stopped him. And apparently, I mean, none of us have heard the tapes yet, but from what the district attorney described, what was on the tape, Kelly Thomas had a difficult time following a very specific order, which was putting his hands on his knee while an officer searched through his bag. And he would sometimes put his hands down on the ground. He never did anything aggressive towards the police. But his backpack was the only thing he had. They were taking it away from him. I think he, from one thing I recall, he might have wanted to hang on to it. But ultimately, it got to a point where Manny Ramos, one of the officers who is now charged with murder, as he was putting on gloves and Kelly Thomas was sitting on the ground, disobeying by not putting his hands on his knees, he put his hands on the ground, said that, you know, these hands are getting ready to F you up, and, you know, and began to beat him, and the guys that all came in on this backup call all jumped in, and ultimately they attempted to effect an arrest from the neck up, and they beat his face in. It was just an absolute horrible, just disgusting beatdown of a defenseless homeless man.
And he eventually died.
He did. He was taken to the hospital. His parents took him off life support a couple of days later, and I believe it was the fifth day that he actually passed away, mm-hmm. never regaining consciousness. And if anyone has not seen the photo of what Kelly Thomas looked like on his bed, you should absolutely take a look at that. That is what just this horrible murder, what the result was and what this poor guy went through. It, his dying words, he was screaming for his dad like a little boy. It's just heart-wrenching.
Corey, we've got to take a break for the next commercial break here. And when we get back, I want to talk about the research you did into the oaths of office of the police officers who were engaged in this murder and what you've learned through your research of these oaths of office and what it means with regards to the people of Fullerton, California, and the Kelly Thomas family. So please stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after this break.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net. Or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
And we are back, everybody, with Common Sense Revisited on Republic Broadcasting. And I'm your host, Todd McGreevy. We have with us Corey Ibe from Orange County, California. And Corey is telling us about the tragic death of Kelly Thomas in Fullerton, California, and the research that he and his team in Orange County did to look up the oaths of office. And for some context, to repeat, in the state of California, and Corey, correct me where I'm wrong, in order to take an oath of office, you have to take that oath from somebody else who has also already taken an oath of office. Is that correct?
Correct. Somebody who, anyone who administers the oath must be authorized to administer the oath. And part of being authorized to administer that oath means they have to have taken and filed their oath properly with the proper government authority. And that way there's a proper chain of command. The oath of office is a very solemn event. It's a solemn promise to uphold and defend the Constitution. So there's certain protocol to it. And the California Government Code is very clear. California Government Code Section 1367 is very clear that you're not to get a penny at all, no reimbursement or compensation for anything until that oath of office, until that paperwork is handled properly.
And we have at thirdrailblog.com, that's my blog, folks, we have links to Corey's research there. He's got a link to a whole page dedicated to this topic, including it looks like the affidavits or the certificate of no record of oath of office from the clerk in your county there. And let's cut to the quick on this, Corey, because we got a lot to cover and the time goes fast. Tell us what happened with this in Fullerton.
Well, Fullerton was the first one that we did as far as exploring this with pulling the oaths. So we went directly to Fullerton, to the city clerk's office, to get the oath of office. And we had a little bit of a challenge there, but some of our team here helped us with legal research to show that the oath of office is a public document and that they do have to disclose it. So we ended up getting the oaths for the chief of police, past chief of police, all the officers involved in the beating, as well as several members of the city council. And then we went back to the city clerk to authenticate the signature of the person who administered the oath, and she wasn't able to do that. So we checked the government code, and the relevant government code for California that controls that is 1360 through 1369. It's very easy to just look up online. And it's clear there that if their jurisdiction is within a county, then they have to file their oath of office with the county recorder, unless they have some other provision somewhere that we're not aware of, which at this point is entirely possible, but nobody's saying anything. Now, what we did was we took those oaths down to the county recorder's office to ensure the person who administered the oath was qualified to do so. And for each and every oath of office that we acquired from the city clerk at Fullerton, for the person who administered the oath, including the chief of police, Pat McKinley, did not have an oath of office on file with the county recorder, according to government code.
So we're looking at the folks that were involved in this tragic murder of Kelly Thomas, several police officers, and you went and pulled their oaths, and then you went and looked at the lineage, if you will, of the person who administered oath, which included the chief of police, Pat McKinley, to these cops on the street, and he himself, Pat McKinley, doesn't have an oath of office.
Well, he does have an oath of office on file with the county or with the city clerk,
okay.
But the government code requires him to transmit that oath to the county recorder's office so it becomes a public record.
Okay.
And in other words, what he has would be no different than if you and I just had an oath and I put it in my drawer here and said, now I'm allowed to go, you know, carry a gun and do everything else. But that's not what the government code says. The government code requires that oath to be at the county recorder's office. And so to move forward with that as far as putting some pressure on Fullerton to become compliant, because they're aware now that we've pulled the oath, and they're aware of everything that we've done, and they would rather just keep it quiet. If nobody does anything about it, then they don't have to deal with it. But what we did was I and several other people that are here that are very interested in this, we've sent letters to the state controller's office along with copies of the oath inquiring how the state controller's office is compliant with the California government code by issuing paychecks. And so we're starting to put some pressure on them to correct this. It has to be corrected because in order to hold our government officials accountable, that oath has to be on file.
Has there been any feedback since then? What's the disposition of the people that were involved in this tragic murder?
Well, there's two of them that are charged with murder, and as far as I know, the other four are still on duty, even though we've demonstrated that their oaths of office are not valid.
Hmm.
So what that, to this layman's point of view, it would seem to me that they're no different than if I were to put on a police uniform, wear a gun, and drive around in a cop car. That would be illegal, and you know, I call into question their authority to be able to do so until they've complied with government code.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was so excited to bring you on the show, Corey, because this may sound esoteric to some of you listening, but I'm guessing that most of you listening to RBN understand the weight of this, and that is that if our government officials in this de facto corporatocracy can't even follow their own rules, then we have complete chaos here. We have complete anarchy, and it's up to we, the people, to hold them accountable, and you need to avail yourselves of what Corey and his team have done. We've got a bottom half of the hour break, folks. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the research.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our leap year sale with prices from 5 years ago. From February 1st to February 29th, you can purchase a four-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
We are back, everyone, on Common Sense Revisited. Thanks for staying with us. And we're visiting with Corey Ide from Orange County, California. Corey, is there any other details on the Fullerton that you want to share before we jump over to Rawson Foods?
Well, just today, in fact, part of the group, they've got the original copies of the certificate of no oath of office on file. We're actually taking that down to Friends of Fullerton. They want to make sure that that they actually see the real ones. They're almost... It's so unbelievable that these people have not gotten their paperwork done properly. They want to verify it. So we'll see what happens today. But that's about what's going on right now at the at Fullerton.
Did the chief of police resign?
The chief of police actually retired. It was interesting. Wow. The day that we posted the information about the Fullerton 6, not including Chief Sellers, at 12 o'clock, we released that information on a Friday, both to the district attorney's office here in Orange County as well as to some other media outlets. I got word at 2 o'clock the chief of police was contacted, and at 4 o'clock he announced his retirement. Now, they're saying it had nothing to do with what we were doing, but it was a happy moment for a lot of people to know that he's finally done and get that out of the chapter of Fullerton's history.
Death by a thousand cuts, it all counts, Corey. Everything
it does,
counts.
Absolutely.
The efforts you're making. You know, we're going to jump to Rawson Foods, but I want to share with some folks a firsthand account. I was sitting in a courthouse at a hearing, a trial, a so-called trial, and where a friend of mine was being adjudicated for driving without a driver's license, and he had a police officer, the arresting police officer, on the stand and was asking him about his oath of office. And during his questioning of the police officer directly, the police officer muttered in exasperation, "That oath of office was just ceremonial." That was just ceremonial, he said, out loud, just in total exasperation. And the prosecuting attorney said, you know, I move that this witness be removed. He's not qualified to discuss or testify about any oath of office or the Constitution. And, of course, that was upheld, so he didn't have to talk anymore about the very oath he took or the document that he took an oath to uphold. That's how bad it's gotten. And to that end, let's jump over to Rawson Foods. And this is this raid on a food co-op, a membership-based organization that sells raw foods, including raw milk and so forth, was raided in was it fall of 2010, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, it was June of 2011, I believe, and then also in August of 2011.
Okay.
I think those are the dates.
Just last year. And
James
Stewart is the founder of Rawson Foods, and you and I got a chance to meet him face-to-face in Las Vegas at the County Sheriff Project, and that's how you became more familiar with his case. And share with the listeners what your research – let's give a quick overview of what happened with the raid, and then let's go to what your research showed.
Yeah, real quick overview on the raid. The like you said, he had a whole raw foods club. People would have to sign a document saying that they waive all protections from the government. They know exactly what they're buying, and that they would agree to the method by which the milk was collected and then distributed and shipped down to Venice, California. So everything was very clear on what people were doing. And there was certainly full disclosure that they were buying raw dairy fresh milk. Now, in California, even the prosecution admits that raw milk is not illegal. There's not a problem with raw milk. What it seems to be is they're getting him on the label. They wanted some sort of label on the milk. And that wasn't there. The milk was disclosed in the invoice. And that seems to be kind of the crux of everything there. So they're trying to get him on a little paperwork issue, and it's not a small deal. He faces, you know, almost 7 years in prison for what they're charging him with. And there are people involved in this. This was a huge investigation that they did over milk.
They being the health department, state health department,
well,
California.
The agencies they're involved are several agencies. The lead agency was the County of Los Angeles Public Health Department. That was the person who signed the affidavit for the search warrant, Michelle LeCavalier, claims to have been appointed and be a public health official with the Special Enforcement Division of the Food and Milk Program of the Public Health Department.
Okay.
And that's where it gets really interesting. When I first spoke with James, of course, the very first thing is you gather a list of every name of every officer who's involved in the case, just any name you can find, and you make sure you get their oath. That's the first thing in this whole investigation. Well, we've been able to get oaths of office for all the people that we know publicly, the people who are elected and work regularly with the health department. And by the way, my indication is several of the people that I've talked to in the public health department, now, although they don't say this directly, but just judging by the tone of voice that they use and how they've dealt with me in my phone calls, I get the feeling they really were not supportive of this raid at all. And that they were just kind of told that this is something they have to do. But interestingly enough, Michelle LeCavalier, who is really the linchpin for everything on this, she was the one who swore before a judge that all the information in the affidavit to get the search warrant. She's the one that really kind of pushed everything here. And it's interesting, you can never get a hold of her at the public health department. Nobody else knows who she is. And we have a certificate of fact of non-filing. And that is, she has no appointment to work for any agency or any deputy within the County of Los Angeles on file with the clerk recorder's office. And a lot of people who were involved in the raid, a lot of the officers who were there, and by the way, there was a huge show of force when they came in. It was huge. To the point where a lot of people were asking, does this make sense for all this taxpayer money to be spent on milk? I mean, they could have sent one person in to do this raid. There were no guns or anything, and James and his volunteers are just selling milk. and they treated it like a full, in fact, they even mentioned in their report that they showed up in full tactical gear.
There were weapons involved, and it was the officers who raided it. They had their weapons drawn, and there's a famous closed-circuit television security camera footage out there. You can find it at the blog, thirdrailblog.com, or search engine. You can't miss it. It's amazing to behold these people walking in with their guns drawn as if this is some type of, you know, major violent criminal activity going on here.
Absolutely. Well, now that's really changed in my mind as far as what's going on. And when I go back and look at that video, I see something completely different. In fact, when you look at the video, you'll see a woman who is carrying a gun, and you watch where she points that gun while she looks underneath a table as if somebody's hiding there. These were not professionals who came in. The way they walked around with their guns and the way they did things, to me, it just doesn't seem like they were highly trained professional law enforcement officers. There was just so many mistakes now that I look at that. Well, throw on top of that that the indication is, I don't have proof of this yet, but the indication is that same woman who was looking underneath the table for some employee trying to hide under a table or something, her appointment was revoked by the County of Los Angeles to be a deputy. And we have that. We just got this yesterday. Several people, and we'll put this up and make it available, but several more people involved in the raid have had their appointments as deputies revoked. It, literally, it's stamped revoked by the agency who is issuing it. Now, we have both the Secretary of State for the state of California has issued a letter that Michelle LaCavalier, who signed the arrest warrant and everything, that she has no oath of office on file with the Secretary of State. She has no oath of office on file with the County of Los Angeles, and she has no appointment to be a deputy or any type of officer with the County of Los Angeles. So this is real exciting.
Well, and listeners, there's a lot of information we're throwing at you. And again, you can go to thirdrailblog.com. You'll see where we have Rossum Foods as one of the headers. And there is the link. It's EASU.org/Rossum, RAWESOME.html. I know it's a long URL, but that's the link to the research Corey's talking about that includes, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, the PDFs of the citations you just named.
Absolutely. We just got a whole bunch more information that came in, and so there'll be more going up on that page. The EASU website is really where we deposit it and just make it publicly available for the research that we find. And, you know, right now we're looking for how is it legal that Michelle LaCavalier had the authority to do all of this. So, you know, once we're really closing in on, there's really not a any more places that she can go and lawfully be able to do the actions that she did. But remember, what these guys did was like a bunch of thugs. There was no difference in gangsters coming in into a competitor's business and destroying all their product and trying to put the competitor out of business. And we see this happening with milk all over the place. And the fact that Michelle LaCavalier is such a central figure to all this, yet nobody in government seemed to even check to find out if she was authorized to do anything that she had done. The judge who issued the arrest warrant seemed to just rubber stamp it, even though her testimony is full of hearsay. And it's really up to the people. If the people don't stand up and question government on this and force government to be compliant with its own codes, then, like you say, we just have anarchy and we have, you know, this corporatocracy and just a criminal government, and that's what we get if we don't stand up and start doing something.
A criminal gangster government that came in and destroyed, I think it was $100,000 worth of goods.
Yeah, they did was they all these people, a lot of them who are not deputies, they've had their appointments revoked. They went in and they destroyed $100,000 worth of product right in front of a homeless shelter. A homeless shelter that, you know, Rossum Foods had donated food to, but they certainly could have used this food, and there's absolutely no allegation that any of the food was unhealthy at all.
just total mafia, gangster, government overreach. And it's just, what does the research mean that you've done to James Stewart? How will this assist him? Is this worth bringing to the table to just get a summary dismissal of all charges, or what's the best case scenario?
Well, we spoke with him, and you also met her. Ajna is helping him with his case, and Ajna is an attorney. I spoke with her yesterday, and she's thinking, with what we've accomplished so far, and we've actually gathered a lot of other stuff. There's a lot to this, but what we've accomplished so far, not only are we going to, is she going to be issuing a motion for a summary dismissal, but there's going to be quite a claim that the county is going to have to answer to as far as property destruction, false arrest, and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And what we're really hoping to accomplish with this, or what myself and the people that I work with, what we're hoping to accomplish is to wake up some of the other government workers so that they realize when actions like this begin to take place, they also have a responsibility to question whether or not the people doing this have the authority.
Yes.
One of the people who is in the food and milk program, I'm not going to use his name, but I did speak to him personally, and you know, he was not visibly, I could hear him over the phone, I could hear his voice crack when he found out the information that we had uncovered, and he participated in this. And mm-hmm. he gave me his word, he will find out why this is going on. So it could be that even because the people have been asleep for so long and we've not been holding our government accountable, then we really can't hold the people in government who are honest but just don't know any different. We can't hold them accountable until they're aware of it. Well, we've made several people in government aware of what's going on with Rawson Foods, and now that they're aware of it and we have proof that they're aware of it, we'll be able to hold their feet to the fire as far as making sure they remain in compliance with government code.
Unfortunately, the standard you just spoke of is a double standard, because we lowly slaves here out on the plantation, ignorance of the law is no defense for us.
Correct.
But meanwhile, you're being courteous and giving these people the benefit of the doubt that they weren't knowledgeable. And in fact, they were culpable.
They were definitely culpable. You know, they participated in an event, whether they were aware of it or not, they participated in an event that now appears to rise to a criminal level. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be seen as to whether or not, now if they genuinely, you know, some of these people genuinely were unaware that what they participated in was a criminal event, then what the people have to do is just judge their actions on how they correct that mistake. And it doesn't mean they get to get away with it free and clear or anything like that. I certainly don't suggest that. But the idea is, if we can create a more effective government locally here with the tools that we have by holding them to the Constitution, holding them to their own laws, and making sure that we have the facilities and the ability to call into question their authority in front of a court, then that adds a lot of power, and it also helps them to be able to do their job more effectively and not just be slaves to some unknown government official that comes in and says, hey, you're going to have to follow what this person says. We want to give government officials the tools to do the same thing we're doing, because there are a lot out there that, you know, that do believe that this is a great country and want to help in making it a great country, but they're trapped by all the statutes that they have to enforce.
Well, Corey, I dare say one of the tools that we should be availing ourselves of is our grand juries. Our de facto
Absolutely.
Grand juries in our counties. This sounds like an amazing case that you could bring before your grand jury. Was this in L.A. County?
This was in Los Angeles County, and we've pulled up some of the information. I've never presented anything to a grand jury. Randy Kelton out in, I think he's in Texas, has done a lot with that. And mm-hmm. we'll definitely be following up with the grand jury for the Rossum case and seeing what we can learn from that. The fantastic thing is if the grand jury does bring an indictment down, whoever is indicted, upon indictment, they lose their position with the government. So
wow.
It's a very powerful opportunity to explore and have some effect.
It's another
is how it should be.
It's another hidden tool. By hidden, I mean where it's not taught in the schools. It exists. It's right there in front of your face. And I can testify to this, folks, because On February 7th, Tuesday, I attended the impanelment of the grand jury in my county, in Scott County, Iowa. And I don't have enough time in the rest of the show to go into the details, but it is a public event that nobody knows about. The government officials that presided over this were somewhat shocked to see five of us sitting in the room watching them impanel this grand jury. We got a lot of intel on that meeting, and we got some FaceTime with the grand jury before they were impaneled, so they know who we are when we bring them something like what Corey just uncovered in L.A. County. So I would encourage everyone to find out about your grand jury in your county. There's tools out there. Corey, we got our last break before the end of the hour, and we want to come back and wrap up. We'll be right back with Corey Ives. Stay tuned.
Mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I use these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you want to be free yet find that credit card payments are still tying you down? Does it seem like you're not getting anywhere month after month, payment after payment? Do you wish that there was some way to end the slavery and save your money for your family instead? FreeToProsper.com has a solution you've been waiting for. Since 2007, we've been implementing an advanced debt repudiation program which legally ends unsecured debt payments, lets you keep your money, and protects your property. This is not another settlement, repayment, or consolidation program, but a true debt repudiation process that's helped hundreds of Americans all across the country start living better quality lives and prepare for an uncertain future. For a free consultation or to learn more, give us a call today at 877-417-8393 or visit freetoprosper.com right now. That's 877-417-8393.
And we are back. We only have a few minutes here, Corey, before the end of the show, and I really appreciate you staying with us today and all that work and effort you guys are doing out there. It's, in my opinion, groundbreaking, and we can all learn from it, and we should scale it up to every county in America. Really appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome work. And I can't, you know, go to thirdrailblog.com, folks. You'll have all the links to this. The Rossum Foods, you know, that coverage went mainstream, everything from Huffington Post to Forbes magazine. Even Stephen Colbert did a piece about Rossum Foods, which I have embedded at the thirdrailblog.com. The thing I want to touch on briefly, because where you and I met and got connected, was at the County Sheriff Project in Las Vegas, Nevada, January 30th and 31st. And listeners, the videos from the event are up and live. And you can go to countysheriffproject.org and click on videos. Or you can go to youtube.com/countysheriffproject. You'll see there's about 16 of the videos. There's about six more coming. I have one of them embedded at thirdrailblog.com. That's Sheriff John Lopey on protecting property rights. They're outstanding. I'm so happy that Ken Cromar at Blue Moon Productions, he's done a phenomenal job of getting the videos documented. We've got them with full descriptions and full tags going up at the YouTube channel. One of the things that was discussed at this, among many things, was interposition and nullification. And Sheriff Brad Rogers out of Elkhart, Indiana, interposed himself in front of, between the FDA, the federal government, and his local farmer in Elkhart County, Indiana, who was selling raw milk, and stopped the tyranny before it got to the stage that it got to in L.A. County. So therein lies one of our remedies, folks, is having a constitutional sheriff, and that is why many of us, including Corey and his friends at the Oath Keepers in Orange County, work so hard to help pull that event off. There is discussion about a second event happening this year in 6 to 8 months, location to be determined. One of the hotbeds of nullification happening at the county level is Colorado. In Colorado, they are nullifying NDAA and indefinite detention. Three counties have now nullified indefinite detention, the indefinite detention clause of the National Defense Authorization Act. And there's a link at the 10th Amendment Center that talks about those three counties. One of the county that led that charge was El Paso County with Peggy Littleton, who Corey and I got to meet out in Vegas. There's links to that there at the blog as well. Corey, you want to add anything to that about nullification?
Well, I first heard about the Peggy Littleton before going out to the Constitutional Sheriff's Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent a letter to her because what I found she did to be incredibly brave for this cute little woman. I mean, she's got to be all of 95 pounds soaking wet. And for her to stand up the way she did to the federal government, and the amount of bravery that she showed all by herself was really inspiring. I was so honored to have a chance to meet her and see that these issues are something that people are worried about across the country. And that sheriff's convention was a way to get everybody who thought they were by themselves really united and share ideas. It was a fantastic event.
Yeah, it was certainly invigorating for everybody to have some camaraderie. And a lot of these people were operating on their own without any direction, just doing what they knew to be right, and then they could find out that their neighbors were also doing the same thing. And, Peggy didn't do it by herself. She had her fellow county commissioners who voted for the resolution that nullified indefinite detention, and she had the support of her county sheriff. And so it takes those people, those good people in office. And to that point, my final point before we close today, if we can't get the people elected that are going to uphold their oath of office, then we can't even do this interposition and nullification. And to that end, most of you listening to the show know that our votes are being counted in secret. We have fraudulent vote counting going on across the board. You can go back in recent history. You couldn't even write these things. Think about Florida. Think about what's going on all over the place. There is. Go to nationalcleanelections.com, nationalcleanelections.com. An appeal was filed by James Liggett and Bob Schultz in New York State that's going to try and put an end to electronic vote counting. I encourage you to go check it out. Corey, I want to have you back again. You guys are kicking ass out there in California. Thank you so much for joining us. We're wrapping up today.
Anytime.
Thank you for tuning in, everybody, to Common Sense Revisited. We'll see you next week.
Gold, ever climbing.